Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. I thank the Lord for what we've already received. I trust that if you came looking to get something out of the service this morning, I trust you've already been blessed. You've already received much. And the thing that we pray for all week long is first and foremost for everyone who comes to this church is to find this place a place of refuge and a place where God is. And I trust that you've already experienced the presence of the Lord in this place. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy in chapter 2. This is one of the pastoral epistles. It's Paul's last letter before he is martyred and called on to glory. And Paul was a powerful servant of the Lord, wrote some 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. 2 Timothy being the last epistle, the last letter he would write, and he wrote this to Timothy, who was a young preacher, and he was Paul was mentoring Timothy and had been teaching him. And so there's so much here in this particular book of the Bible, but we're going to be studying here in chapter 2 and reading verse 15, which is a very familiar verse to most, and we're going to read down to verse 19. Verse 19 is actually what we're going to be looking at for our text this morning, and so if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you once again, we do thank you for, Lord, your presence in this place. And we thank you for how you've worked in each individual's life to bring them to this place this morning. And God, I know that as they have come, they've chosen to be in church, chosen to be here. I know, God, that you have a message for them, and I pray, God, that they would be open to receiving that. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul writing to Timothy, and here in verse 15, there's no doubt he's telling Timothy, the Word of God is very important. You need to study it, know how to rightly divide it, know how to teach it, know how to preach it. He says, study the Word of truth, and that's what he's presenting in verse 15. Verse 16 and 18, Paul warns him of the attacks that's going to come, that have already came, even in his day, on the very words of truth. There's going to be attacks on the Word of God. There's going to be attacks on even the person of God, as we very well know today. But then he says something in verse 19 that I think no doubt was an encouragement to Timothy as he would read this, and has been an encouragement to every born-again believer in this New Testament church age ever since, some 2,000 years ago. And that is, he says, nevertheless, with all this taking place, he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Even today in this 21st century, after all the attacks upon the presence of a creator God, the reality of a creator God, the reality of the Bible actually being the literal words or written down words of a creator God, a God that created all things and has written down his instructions to humanity, has written down the things that all of humanity needs to understand concerning the past, the present, and the future. Has written them down and has preserved them for us today and has promised that they would be preserved throughout this church age and all eternity. After all the attacks on that, from the world, from the flesh and the powers of darkness, it's still true today. The foundation of God still stands. The foundation of God standeth sure. Matthew Henry said this. He said, "The unbelief of man cannot make the promises of God of no effect." Just because somebody doesn't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. And cannot change or deter what God has promised. So the foundation, first of all here, the foundation of God, what is that? Now, a foundation, if we would look in the dictionary, we'd find that it's the natural or prepared ground or base on which some structure rests. The presence of God, the reality of God in this 21st century. What is the foundation for that? Paul here referring to the word of truth. That's what he's talking about here, is the very words of God, the Bible that we hold in our hands here and that we're preaching from this morning, which is also that which represents Christ and his church. It's all in one. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus established it before he would leave. And establishing his word, he established his church that would be governed by his word. The foundations that there is a God is in the person of Jesus Christ and the completion of the revelation of the word of God and in the church that was established some 2,000 years ago. And that foundation that was established standeth sure. He refers to this, the church, in verse 20, he says, but in a great house. And he talks about the different vessels in the house. But what I want you to see here is he's talking about the house of God, which is the church. If we go back to 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to Timothy, in chapter 3, in verse 15, it says this, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. God is still alive. He is a presence here today. And the church, how oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground or the foundation of the truth. I trust it's coming together for you to understand exactly what Paul is revealing to Timothy. And not only is what Paul is revealing to Timothy is what the Holy Spirit of God spoke to Paul. He wrote as he was inspired by the very person of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and it has been preserved throughout this church age for each and every one of us to be blessed by. Not only is it a foundation that is still standing sure, it has a seal. Go back there, look at that with me. That's what he's saying. He's telling Timothy. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. If you want to know that it's a foundation, if you want to know it's what God has established and preserved, you have to find his seal. When I pay something off and they send me a receipt, they send me a bill, I want to pay it. I want you to stamp it paid. I want your seal, I want your stamp on that so that if it ever brought into question, I can bring it back and say, look right here, you have stamped it, you have sealed it, and you have secured that testimony that it's been paid. We put seals on things that we want to make sure of. The seal. I love the definition of that is used as evidence of authenticity. Now, especially applying it to what we're reading right here. It's God's seal, and God has applied it so that we can see it used as evidence of authenticity. There's a lot of fakes in the world that we live in today. There's a lot of imposters in the world that we live today, in religion especially. They're wanting to take advantage of it for their own personal use. But God says, my foundation, the foundation that I have established, is sure. And you can know it's my foundation. You can know it's what I've established as you look at the seal that I've put upon it. Now, I trust you're with me here this morning, because that'll get you to even a dead Baptist to shout. This is powerful stuff. This is good stuff. Not only would this have encouraged Timothy, who is just coming into the ministry. He is just starting. And yet he has given his life to this. And he has to know that what I've given my life to is real. But not only was it a blessing to Timothy, who is just coming into this, it's Paul's last letter. It's Paul's last thoughts before he departs this world. And in departing this world, Paul needed this just as much as Timothy beginning his ministry. Paul is ending his ministry because now he is going on to a place of glory. And what he has given his life to, he needs to have confidence that it's real. If it's real, if it's what God's established, it has this seal. Evidence of authenticity. What is that? Paul reveals, actually, there's two things that reveal the authenticity of it being God's. The first, look what it says. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. What a thought. That's a thought that ought to come from every Bible-believing, Bible-preaching ministry. The Lord knoweth them that are his. There are those that are his, and if there are those that are his, there are those that are not his. Which reveals to us that not everyone is going to go to a place of heaven. We're living in a world today that wants to determine that as long as you're sincere in what you believe, if there is a heaven, if there is a God, and if he is a God of love, how could he send someone to a place of hell? And the thought, even religion today, and we're gravitating to that in just about every thought on religion, come together on this thought. You can believe whatever you want to believe, because in the end, everyone's going to heaven anyway. That's not an authentic, that's not part of the seal that God says is on my church. That's not the seal that reveals my word. That is not what thus saith the Lord. If that was true, then Jesus Christ would have come, died on the cross of Calvary in vain. He came because all men are born sinners. We're basically born with a sin nature. Everyone is not born good. I know that just has destroyed your confidence in all the psychology that you've heard all your life. I'm basically, there's a champion inside of me. We won't go there. We're going to stay with the authenticity of the Word of God. The Bible tells in the book of Romans that because of Adam's sin, sin is passed upon all men, therefore all are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Not everyone who dies goes to heaven. Wow. Everyone must choose for themselves salvation. And it comes through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Ephesians in chapter 2. This is authentic Christianity. This is authentic Bible. This is authentic preaching of the Word of God. It's what Christ established. It's what God has given to us, to humanity, to realize that we need a Savior. We are all born sinners. And if we die in our sins, we are going to die and go to a devil's hell. Hell was not prepared for man. It was prepared for Satan and his angels. But every man who refuses and rejects Jesus Christ will follow Satan and his angels into this everlasting Gehenna hell. Reality. Authenticity. The seal of God. Ephesians in chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Did you hear Hallie's song? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your nationality. Doesn't matter your financial status. Doesn't matter what you've done, because you can't go back and change one thing that's in the past. You're living with the consequences of what you've done. But you can't go back and change it. Doesn't matter. Don't let your past control your future. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, you can start all over again. I love that. Went right along. Amen. Praise the Lord. Usually when you see God working, it happens that way. That's not by coincidence. That comes through way of prayer, by way of prayer. Yeah. But God, who is rich in mercy for his love, great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. It's what the Bible says. Dead in sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead in sins hath quickened us. That word quickens means to be made alive. Giving a new life. A new nature. That's good. Amen. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. That means you have to acknowledge grace, God's love and kindness, God's favor, God's gift. You have to acknowledge that of your own personal free will. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not only do you have to believe, you have to receive what God has for you. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough. You can't give enough. No matter what other so-called religions are trying to teach you, no matter what the world says, if you're going to look to the authenticity of the very truth of God, you have to realize that you are lost and that you are born a sinner. And the only way that you're going to go to heaven is through, at some point in your life, acknowledge the fact that you're lost in need of a Savior. Look to Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and of your own free will, call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, based on the word of God, shall be saved. Romans 10:13. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For it's a gift of God. For that gift to become yours, you just have to believe that it is a gift. And you have to receive it. And once you've received it, it's yours. Not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So once you're saved, you're his. And he knows you. He knows you. God will never ask someone else your name. I have to confess, sometimes I have to go to the staff and say, Who is that person back there? What is their name? They've been visiting or whatever. And of course, as a pastor, people want you to know their name. And as a pastor, I should. But, you know, we can only do what we can do, right? I mean, you know, we only have so much mental capacity. And as the older I'm getting, the less and less I realize capacity that I have. And so I'm so thankful that I have others I can go to and say, my wife, now what was their name and who was that? And I remember faces, but many times I have to ask somebody else their name. Can I tell you this morning that God will never ask anyone else your name? Never will. Why? Because he knows you. An almighty creator God. Think of this. This will wow anybody, should wow all of us. An almighty creator God knows your name. It's always a blessing, yeah, when somebody remembers us. Now, sometimes I don't remember everyone. It's harder for me to remember 500 than 500 to remember me, I guess, you know. But I'll be out and somebody will be there and they were in the service. And they'll come by and say, well, appreciate that message you preached. God used that. And they'll call me by name. And I'm looking at my wife, who is this? But they'll call and I'll think, they remember me. God used that in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Whenever that happens, you know, whenever somebody comes up to me and says, oh, you're Pastor Tidd, or you remember me, that makes you feel good. When somebody remembers your name and they come up to you, it makes you feel good. Stop and think about it. God wants you to know. He knows your name. He knows you. You don't have to convince him of anything about yourself. You ever been guilty of that? Somebody that comes to say, I went to school with you. I'm not that same person. I'm sorry. I know what I was then. And immediately when they say, oh, this was a long, long time ago, and I know you, and I went to school with you, and I'm thinking, oh, no, what they know about me. I'm not the same person. And we try to convince them that we're a little bit better now, a little more mature now. And we try to convince people about who we are. Stop trying to convince God of who you are. He knows. He wants you to know who you are. And once you understand who you are, you realize that he already knew it. He knows everything about you and your past. Nothing's hid from God. He knows everything. Yeah, he knows that. Yeah, he knows that too. He knows. He knows you better than anyone else knows you. Not only does he know everything about your past, he knows where you're at today, and he knows where he wants you to be tomorrow. And he still loves you. Don't have to convince him that you're lovable now. He's a creator God. And his seal is upon this. He knows you. He knows his own. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you have believed and received, he knows you. And he desires the very best for you. Romans in chapter 8. Look back over there with me. This is part of God's seal. This is what he says. This is true, authentic Christianity. This is true, authentic Word of God. This is what the church needs to be preaching and teaching. Romans in chapter 8. Most all of us, if you've been in church very long, you've learned to memorize verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. We know that because if you love God and you're doing what God wants you to do, you're called according to His purpose, and you know that God loves you and He's going to work in your life. But look down to verse 31. Sometimes we overlook this. If we are known of by God, then you can know that God desires the best for us. He says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And the truth there is, if God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. He's God. And knowing that God is for us, verse 32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, He knows you and He sent His Son to die for you." Amen. Knowing what I was, yeah, knowing what you were. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also, if he would give His only Son for you, how much more with Him also, shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Whew. Foundation of God standeth sure. He has this seal. The seal is, first of all, that the Lord knoweth them that are His. There's another part to this seal. It's given to us right there in chapter 2, verse 19. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ," those that do name Christ, those that are saved, "let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Well, I know you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved, and you believe that you can go out and live any old way that you want to live and still be saved. No, I'm thinking how ignorant you are of the words of God. We believe what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches once God saves you, He knows you, you're His, and He's going to deal with you as a son. And no matter what you do, you might want to deny your child, but you can't deny your child. Why? Because your blood flows through His veins or her veins. They're your child. Once you're saved, you're God's child. And He's not going to turn His back. He is not going to leave you nor forsake you. He's going to deal with you as His child. And you cannot get out there and just live any old way you want to live and continue on life like you did before you got saved, because you're a new creature now in Christ, and you might be able to do some of those old things, but you will not be able to do them with the same kind of enjoyment and the same kind of pleasure that you had in them before. Why? Because of God. Because what is the second part of the authenticity? "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." In verse 20, it reveals that there are a variety of vessels in Christ's church. There's different spiritual levels of understanding and opportunities. That's what he's talking about, the different vessels there. But they're still all in the house. And God's dealing with everyone as God only can deal with everyone in the house, no matter where you're at, no matter what kind of vessel you are. But if you're saved, you're in the house. And if they're saved, He not only knows them, but He will lead them to depart from iniquity. Which it brings back on what the church is preaching. If you don't hear what sin is, you'll never be convicted of the sin that you're involved in. And if you're never convicted, listen to me, you can't and you will not repent. The way it is, as a Christian, hear the word of God. The Holy Spirit that now dwells within you, He starts revealing to you that's truth, and what you're doing is not. What you're doing is sin against God. What you're doing is iniquity, and you need to turn from that. And that's what's going on inside of every believer. And when the believer realizes that, and you yield to the Holy Spirit, and then you confess and forsake your sin, even as a believer, you repent of that sin. And repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. What is that? Departing. Parting. True authenticity of salvation is not only does He know you, He's now working in your life to get you to depart from the old nature and the old ways and get you to turn to the new man, the new ways. Wow. Part of God's seal. In departing from iniquity, He will reveal what we are to follow. I wish I had more time to break it down, but He tells us what to follow after. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts. A lot of times those youthful years are that wood, hay, and stubble. Vessels, they're so corrupt and doing different things. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow. Now I'm departing from this. And now He says, I want you to follow this. Righteousness. We ought to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew 5, 6. That is being right with God and doing right by God. In order for you to be right with God, you have to know that God is. In order for you to want to be right by God, you have to know that God has a purpose for your life. And you follow that. Faith. Know what you know and believe and be faithful to it. Study to show thyself approved, he said, Timothy. Know what you believe and then be faithful to what you believe. And know that what you believe is based on the very words of God, which will never change, which is the foundation that God has established. Know what you believe and be faithful to what you believe. Follow after love. Not lust, but love. Love as God has loved you. You want to know how to love somebody else? How does God love you? God forgave the unforgivable. He loved the unlovable. That was you. Wow. Follow after that kind of love. Peace. Peace. Are we really doing all that we can do to live at peace one with another? Are we so selfish and self-centered? God says, don't be selfish and self-centered. Follow after peace. Be spiritually minded. Can I tell you this morning, and we're closing here, the second part of this seal. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you're saved this morning, stop following after sin. Because by following after sin, you're making yourself miserable. Because God, now that you're His, He knows you, and He is going to start leading you to depart from sin and to follow after righteousness. When we were little, I remember many times after eating dinner, and I'd have to eat dinner before we could have dessert, but after eating dinner, then my mom would bring in dessert, and she would only bring in just a little bit, because there were so many of us, I guess. I don't know, but just a little bit. And so I would eat that, and I would want more. And she would say this: no, you don't need to have any more ice cream. You don't need any more chocolate, because it'll make you sick. And I was thinking, let me determine what's going to make me sick. Let me give it a try. I would love to see how much I could eat ice cream before I got sick. I used to think that all the time. As a child. Now I'm an adult. You know what? I can eat all the ice cream I want. I can eat all the chocolate that I would want to eat. But you know what I realize as an adult? It'll make me sick. Just because you can should not be a green light to go ahead and do it. Just because you can sin, God's not going to come down. He doesn't have that baseball bat waiting, and just as soon as you sin, whap! That's not going to happen. Now, you will grieve the Holy Spirit, and inside of you, you're going to be miserable. Because sin, as a believer, is going to make you sick. Understand that. You can, yes, but just because you can, you should not. Why? It will make you sick. Because God, now you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're His. And the second part of His seal, He's going to lead you to depart, not to go into, but to depart from that. Don't make yourself sick. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Depart from that iniquity. Stop following after sins. Follow that which will bring you joy. For it's God. It's God's way. For there is a Creator God. And His foundation standeth sure. In this 21st century, with all the attacks, this Bible still stands. There's still a church like this you can come to, which understand authentic Christianity. And that is just simply Christ-likeness. Preaching the exact same truths that Christ preached. Preaching exactly what the Bible has written down and preserved for us. The foundations standeth sure. And it has this seal. God knows you. He does. And His desire for your life, depart from iniquity and follow after righteousness. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. What a great passage of Scripture that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote to Timothy. Not only did Timothy need that, Paul needed that. Not only did they need that, can I tell you this morning, I need this. And whether you realize it or not, you need this. And you've just heard it. What will you do with it? Do you know that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you've not, today begins a whole new life. We're filled with all new possibilities. And what you can do in Christ. If you can't go back to a point in your life when you know that you seen yourself as God saw you as a sinner, someone that He sent His Son to die for. If you can't go back to a point in time in your life where you realize you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and a time when you, of your own free will, asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save your soul. If you don't have the memory of that, if you can't go back to a place like that, chances are you're not saved today. And God wants you to know that you need to be saved. You can't go to heaven outside of through the blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of Jesus this morning. You can come to this altar. There'll be an altar worker here that can take the Bible and show you exactly what God says. Not the church. Not necessarily what the church says or not what this preacher says. You can look for yourself. It's in the Bible. It's exactly what God says that you need to do to be saved. Get saved today. If you're saved, God knows you. And God's going to work in your life to get you out of that life of sin and into a life that is pleasing to Him. That's going to bring you joy. What about it today? Today's the day. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. I pray that You'd work now in this invitation time. Speak to us as we have need to be spoken. Help us to make those decisions that need to be made today, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.